Welcome back, everybody, to the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. This is Tom McNew again here in our St. Colby studio. And today I am joined by Miss Jerri-Ann Gabler, who is going to talk to us about something, a very important event that is coming up here in the month of November, which coincides with National Adoption Month. Spoiler alert.
Yes. Yeah.
And so Miss Jerri-Ann is going to talk to us about her conference, a little bit about her, and how she got involved into this great organization and everything right here on our hometown hero. So Miss Jerri-Ann, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. So we are going to have a conference, and I'll tell you, it's all God ordained. Everything that has happened to this point, even in my life, I mean, He orders our steps, as the Bible says.
Why
Sometimes
don't
we make
you,
that. I'm
yeah, I
sorry.
was gonna say, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to
Okay.
all of our listeners so they
Okay.
know who you so they know who they're talking to.
Well, I don't mean to correct you, but my last name is Gabler.
Oh, I'm sorry. I pronounced it
Jerri-Ann
wrong.
Gabler. It's okay, happens all the time.
Sorry.
Jerri-Ann Gabler, married to my wonderful, amazing husband Bill. We're actually going to hit our 5th anniversary in October the 1st, so we're still newlyweds.
Well,
But we're also,
congratulations.
thank you. We're also combined with our families. We have 20 grandchildren and 7 great grandkids. So, and they're scattered. I mean, if I could get everybody together, that would be amazing. I want to talk about the conference and tell you more about that, but I really can't do it until I start first telling you how it ended up at that point. And I'm going to try to condense it as best I can. And if people come to the conference, they might hear a little bit more of my testimony. But I had a what would at that time called a crisis pregnancy 38 years ago. I was a single mom with 3 children, raising them on my own. I was not a young teenager. I was 28, almost 29 years old. I was a believer, but I always say that I kept a little piece of my heart from the Lord and looking for love in all the wrong places. And that's exactly what I did, and got involved with somebody that I shouldn't have, and found myself pregnant. And so throughout the decision-making process, I made the plan to place my son for adoption. And I did that for a lot of different reasons. One of the main ones, I could have raised them. I could have had a fourth child to handle as a single mom. I could have done that. But there was that relationship issue, and it wasn't very good, very dysfunctional. And I did not want the baby's father to really be a part of our lives. I was
Understand.
concerned about our safety. And so the plan for adoption happened. Wasn't an easy plan. It didn't, I even changed my mind at some point. It's a difficult decision. I mean,
I can
the
imagine.
most life-changing, life-impacting decision that any woman can make. And even if the birth father is involved, there have been men who walk with their wives or girlfriends through that process, and then they end up marrying, and it really affects them years later, because they know they have this child that they had placed. But I don't want to go through the whole testimony because it really would take a long time. So when I made the plan to place him for adoption, it was an open adoption initially, and there was a lot of things that happened at the hospital that were traumatic for the couple, because they were there. They flew down from Colorado and wanted to be there as soon as the baby was born, and papers were signed because I had made the plan with my social worker that I was going to sign papers, pretty quickly, because I knew what I wanted. But he, on the other hand, was kind of giving me a hard time about it. And so when we were in the hospital, everybody took a break from me, left me alone. I had a great support system. The couple was there, and they decided to go to lunch and just let me rest a bit. And then I got a phone call from the social worker, and she said, Baby's father called, he's on his way. And I was like, yay. I was so excited because I knew deep down inside, I knew that he was going to relinquish his parental rights. I was very hopeful and just knew, even though throughout my pregnancy, he was threatening me, he was just not on board. But as it turned out, he ended up going and signing papers. We celebrated when everybody came back together after about 2 hours. It was a wonderful experience. And then the hospital gave them a room where they could feed him and hold him. And that was the first time they did not want to see him prior to that. So it was very exciting. And I remember thinking to myself, I need to see them as a family. I need to peek in on them and see them as a family. And so I went down the hall, I found the room. I think the nurses were kind of freaking out because, that's another thing. Even today, this was 1988, but even today, nurses especially are a little uneducated when it comes to adoption. Sometimes they want to know, sometimes they have their own personal opinions about it. But anyway, so I peeked in on him. They let me come in. They were holding him and feeding him. And I'm watching this interaction, and it was, I said to them at one point, I said, I know I've carried him for 9 months and I just gave birth to him, but I've always felt like he was theirs. And I think it was my mindset. I knew it was mine. I mean, obviously, but because I was so excited for them the path that they had gone on to try to have a child. And because I knew at one point I had such a great support network around me with my pastor and family and close friends that really helped me a lot. And I think it's key when a woman is going through the adoption process, I think it's key that she have that. She has to have that. It's very easy for a birth mom to change their mind, and like I did, even though I did have a support system, I just kind of panicked, So anyway, here we are 38 years later. I met him 2 years ago. His name is John. I got to meet him. And the interesting thing about that is that my youngest son especially, Tim, he reached out on Facebook and started searching. And this was like 2009, I believe. And found him. And then they started talking and they made plans. Timmy flew down from Washington to Colorado and they had a meeting. And Jason, my middle son, actually moved to Colorado. And I don't think it was any coincidence that they hooked up and they see each other quite a bit because they live in the same town and they get together for birthdays and holidays and you name it. And my grandchildren call him Uncle Sean,
How
it's just
wonderful.
it was amazing the day that we finally connected. And I never thought in a million years, I had no plan. I had no expectation of that ever happening. I was actually happy. My oldest son then came in. He lives not too far up the road in Jarrell, and he actually went to Colorado, flew up there, had a special meeting with Sean. So the three of my boys, they all met. And so then the day that I met Sean was June of 2 years ago, 2024. My granddaughter had graduated from high school. And my son told me, Mom, just be prepared because Sean's going to be there. And I said, well, I'm happy to know that. But my question is, does he know that I'm going to be there? It's one thing for me to know him because I was thrilled to know that, but he said, oh yeah, he knows you're going to be there. So that was kind of exciting. And then at one point, Jason said, oh, he's probably not coming. And I said, you know what? I'm going to see my granddaughter graduate from high school. I am not going with any other expectations. And so then, as it turned out, of course, he did not show up for the graduation, but he had some reasons later for that. And my middle son rented an Airbnb for 14 people. So it was a nice, it was my sons and two of the wives came of the three. And then it was my daughter-in-law's parents and an aunt and uncle and a cousin. So we and the
The whole
grandkids. So
extended family.
we were all in this Airbnb. And so on the day of the graduation, my son barbecued outside and we had some, time to visit and stuff. Well, then everything started to die down. And unbeknownst to me, my son Sean texted my other son Jason and told him he was on his way over. Of course,
Wow.
I didn't know this. Nobody, my husband even knew. I'm the only one that did not know. And then so it was very quiet. And by this time, some people disappeared. Actually, it was God's providential. I am so convinced of this because Sabrina's family, they decided to go out and go shopping or whatever. So the only ones left in the house were my sons and the wives and my husband. And there's a knock on the door, and I hear his voice, and I knew instantly. And I heard, they were hugging and everything, and I'm kind of off on the side. And after he comes inside, I said to him, "Do I get a hug?" And he said, "Of course." So we walk over and hug, and everybody was crying, and
Yeah.
nobody caught it on video.
That's okay.
I have some great pictures, which I hope to show at the conference, of all of us together. And it's been such a blessing,
Yeah.
and the reality is adoption doesn't always go the way you want it to go.
Sure.
And Sean had, he didn't have the perfect life. And I don't know that there really is such a thing as a perfect life.
Do
But
any of us, yeah.
it's made him the man he is. He's married now, he's got four children. And they bought a house, and so he's manager of a company of a business in a town in Colorado, and so he's doing really well. And so he and my kids communicate. He'll talk to me periodically if he has a question about,
Yeah.
like if he sees something on Facebook, he'll say to me, "Who is that person to me?" Because I've had my dad pass away, my brother, my mom. There's been a lot of stuff over the years, but he's all, he wants to know what's the relation, what relationship.
Yeah.
So it's really been good, but I'm glad that I have that freedom and that I've given him that open door that he can talk to me whenever he wants. And
Before
so,
we I want to interject here just for a minute, just to kind of ask a question for my own edification. You used a term earlier, open adoption. What does that mean?
okay, well, people who come to the conference will learn about this.
Yeah, there we go. I guess that's part of the
And
reason of having the conference in the first place, right?
yes. And you're going to have a table there, so you're going to
That's
get to
right.
hear.
That's
You're going
right.
to get to hear this. There's different degrees of openness in adoption. It's like a spectrum, and it can start off open, or it can start off very closed. Let's put it that way. Or it can be very open, and in between are various degrees of openness. And so the far extreme of openness is kind of what I experienced. I mean, I had contact information. I knew where the couple lived, phone numbers. I
Okay.
talked to them over the phone. They were in agreement that we were going to continue to have contact after the baby was born. At one point in my pregnancy, they even wanted to move me and my kids to Colorado so that they could see me. I mean,
Wow.
she never experienced a pregnancy, so every time that we would talk on the phone, I would tell her, how far along I was and how I was feeling. And then she would tell me, about the room that they're setting up for him. And we knew it was a boy. And so, but then there's that closed aspect of adoption that they don't want to know anything. Some birth mothers, and this is very rare now, but some birth mothers didn't even want to know the gender of their child. And that's
Wow.
probably more, pre-80s, 70s, maybe even 60s. But it's changed a lot. And
Sure.
so I have two good friends. Part of them are on my planning committee, and they both work at an adoption agency. And so they're going to be doing some training as well as myself on the afternoon part of our conference. And so you'll get to hear some stories. And we're also going to have, can I segue into this?
Yeah, well, let me ask one more question, and then we
Go
could
ahead, go
get
ahead.
into the conference.
Go
So
ahead.
does that kind of that rough definition of open and closed, is that universal across all the states, or are there again kind of the varying degrees?
It's an open, every state might have a different policy, but I think when you look at different adoption agencies in every
Okay.
state. It's really dependent. And I'll be honest, the birth mom kind of calls the shots in the
Sure.
situations. And I did. I know I did. Because they have the preference of looking at profiles of prospective adoptive couples. They can read all about them, see their pictures, how they live. Let me just tell you one little important piece. I worked for 20 years in adoption and foster care. So I was able, after I had my son, I went to college, got my social work degree. My first job was working with the state with aged and disabled. And I realized, because I was 34 at the time, that that really wasn't my thing. I love now, I'm actually have been a hospice chaplain, and I've sat at the bed of many dying patients, and I really enjoy ministering to them. But at the time, I was young. And I really didn't want to work with elderly people, but I was blessed to go to an organization in El Paso called Lee and Beulah Moore Children's Home, and they're a kind of a residential, private residential facility, but they also have an adoption program. And so I was blessed to get hired there, and I'm sure it was because I was a birth mom. I shared it with my future boss, and I'll never forget her attitude about it. She put down all her paperwork she was holding, and she said, "You know, you don't learn about adoption in college," she said.
That's
"Those
right.
are things that you have to learn on the job, but you have something that nobody else has in this organization. You know what it's like to be a birth mom, you know, so you can be empathetic to your clients." And that's why she hired me. And I was a bachelor's degree. Most of these people are master's level, and I got hired with my bachelor's. And I was there for 5.5 years, and we had many seminars, many workshops. We invited the community. We invited doctors and lawyers and nurses. So let me tell you what sprung out of that. I'm convinced, I don't want to put total credit on it, but I'm sure I had a lot to do with that in having those workshops and conferences. And we've even served food, you know, kind of like what we're going to be doing now, but on a larger scale, because the numbers of people that we would have would be maybe close to 100, you
I
know, and
see.
we're hoping to have hopefully 300 at this. And so it just started stirring in my mind. After I left there, I went home to kind of be a stay-at-home mom for my two boys that were still at home and getting ready to graduate, you know, from high school. And I just wanted to be there. You know, I was married at that time. My income was not that great. They didn't really need it. We didn't need it. So my husband at the time, who has passed away now, my late husband, he took care of us, and I was a PTO mom, and I did the things that I never could have done before, you
That's
know, because
right.
I was a
That's
single
awesome.
mom and busy. So, you know, I have to share this piece of it because it's so important. It's kind of like the milestone. So after having retired, I retired at the age of 62. I'm 69 now. And my dad was very sick, and it was pre-COVID, but he had other health issues. And I was taking him to the doctor in the hospital a lot. And I was working at hospice at that time, and I lost my job because I was considered non-essential. Imagine that. And so anyway, so I was home taking care of my husband. And in 2018, my dad. My dad passed away in 2021. So in 2018, I was actually still working at that time, but I was invited to be a guest keynote speaker at a it was called How to Speak to an Abortion-Minded Client About Adoption. And it was in Des Moines, Iowa. And so they flew me out there, and I was actually replacing a woman who couldn't go. And I have to give her credit. She invited me to take her place. So I was very, very honored to do that. And so, and ironically, it was Knights of Columbus that paid for that, paid for my bed and breakfast, paid for my trip, and paid me also for speaking. So I did this, you know, it was probably a 45-minute presentation. And so when I got home and the dust settled and I was processing everything, I remember just crying out to God. And it was just so amazing to me to be able to do this, you know. And I said, "Lord, why do I have to go to Des Moines, Iowa? Why can't I do this in Central Texas?"
Amen.
You know, and I tried to make it happen two different times. I actually tried. I made phone calls. I tried to get some interest, but nothing happened. The second time it got a little bit better. We actually had a planning committee, but it all fell through. And it may have been timing, but it was timing as far as I'm concerned, because God's timing is perfect.
Amen.
And so last August, a year ago, almost coming up, we'll see, we're in July. Yeah. So it was a year ago, last August. At that point, I'm already on Texas Alliance for Life's board, which I'm thrilled to be a part of. And they decided at one of our committee meetings, it was brought up, why don't we do a panel? Because usually at the luncheons, we bring a public official in and they talk about what they're doing. And this time it was different. And it was brought up, we had 19 people on the board at one time. We had that. And probably out of 19, there were about 10 who had some connection with adoption. Either they were adopted themselves or they were adoptive parents. And then there was me, the birth mom. And so it was decided that we were going to do a panel. I don't know, Tom, if you were there for that, but it was August last year, 15th, I think it was.
We
And
were
so there
there.
was a panel of me, Jim Shaw, and Donna Davidson. So it was awesome, and Amy questioned each one of us, and we shared a little bit of our story. Well, after it was over, I went to an ALAC meeting, which is a Austin Area Life Affirming Coalition meeting. And there was a handful of us there that day. And some of the women that were there were ones that knew, previously, several years back, that I had been trying to have a conference. And they said, whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to that idea? I think you should do it. And I just, it got me so excited when I started talking about it. And I was thinking the whole time, I would love to do this again. And I think I even mentioned it that day, when we were talking on the panel. I think I even mentioned something like that. So here we go, So it started again, and it's been November. See, we talked about it in August, and I think we actually started kicking it off, in November of last year. We started meeting monthly and doing these planning committees, and I've got Nightlight represented, and Radiance, and TAL, at Texas Alliance for Life, and Embrace Life Initiative. I'm trying to think, who else am I missing somebody?
So let's
There's
jump in here some of the details of the conference itself.
okay.
First, the 'cause the name is important, as we talked about earlier.
Yes,
Let's start
it
with
is.
that, and then we can get into some of the details. So.
So, yes, it's called Pro-Life Adoption Empowerment Conference. And the reason that I think that name, especially the word empowerment, is so important, because our goal for this conference is, and here's the thing, I don't want to imply that people are not already getting some adoption training somewhere else. I'm sure they all are, especially PRCs, pregnancy resource centers. They do at least, one time a year they get some training. I just think the perspective is different because of the fact that it's coming from a birth mom. Plus, we're going to have a birth mother sharing a testimony, and we're also going to have the triad, which is birth mother, adoptee, and adoptive family. And they call that the adoption triad. So we're going to have a panel, and so people will be able to ask questions. Each one, of course, will share their story. So we're going to have Judge Larson speaking for just a little bit. He's going to open us up with prayer and some words of encouragement. And I don't know if anyone knows who Judge Ryan Larson is, but he,
Williamson County.
Williamson County. In fact, recently, from what I understand, Governor Abbott appointed him to oversee the child welfare program for Williamson County. So he's doing pretty good. And I got the joy of meeting him, but before we got started and I ever met him, I just took a bold step of faith and sent him an email and gave him a little bit of background on myself, and that was all it took. And then we did a Zoom call, and then I finally did get to meet him, but on a different project that I'm actually helping with him. So it's pretty cool how God puts people together,
That's right.
So then we have Eric Freebie, and he's an attorney, and he'll be coming from Fort Worth, and he does a lot of adoptions for Nightlight Christian Adoption Agency. So He's coming and he'll be speaking about the legal aspect of adoption. And then we will have, I'll actually kick it off before I even, I'll be introducing Judge Larson, and I'm hoping that I don't spend too much time doing all of that. But but I do want to share the vision and what this conference is all about, but so then we're going to have a birth mom who is coming. I don't know her name, and for confidentiality, we're just going to kind of, keep it at
Keep
that
it
for
that way.
right now.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And then also that after lunch, it'll be a real brief lunch, but everybody will eat at their seats because we're going to keep on moving. And then we'll have the triad. Then we're going to have some training, some teaching with myself, Heather from Nightlight, and then Janine from Breath of Life. And then it's going to be 10 to 4, 10 a.m. to 4. We'll I think people will come. It's to empower them. That's the main crux of this whole thing, to empower them so that they can empower their client. Because if they don't talk to them about adoption and really educate them, we've missed something. I feel like it's a disservice. You want to talk about abortion and educate them on that. But then there's the other option is parenting. But there is that middle ground that I feel needs to be discussed more. And you can't do it if you don't know what you're talking about.
Amen.
You have to
Amen.
be educated on it so that you know what you're telling your client,
Sure,
So
sure.
that's pretty much
So
in a
you it
nutshell.
yeah, you want folks from the PRCs and doctors and nurses and clinician staff and
Yes,
lawyers
absolutely.
and involved in this and to show up.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Yep,
yeah.
that's what we're looking for. So
So
yeah,
tell me
you
again
caught it,
the
Tom.
yeah, the date and location again one more
Okay,
time.
the date again is November the 13th, which is 3 months away, maybe less. It's going to be at Georgetown Church of the Nazarene, which is 4051 East University Boulevard in Georgetown. And again, registration will start like at 9:30, and then we'll kick off at 10. Also, we are looking for people who would like to set up a table. We have other organizations, maternity homes, mostly at this point, that are going to be setting up a table there with information. So, and of course, you're going to have a table as well.
Yep. We'll be there in force. Yes,
So,
indeed.
we're not
Well,
limiting it either. I mean, we're going
yeah.
to fill the halls if we have to. So,
That's great.
yeah.
Ms. Jerry-Ann, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Well,
Folks,
thank you.
the Pro-Life Adoption Empowerment Conference, November 13th, 2026, at the Georgetown Church of the Nazarene in Georgetown. And the website for people to get registered and get more information.
I wish I had that for you. It is going to be
Okay.
connected to Nightlight, but
Okay.
you can't access it at this moment. What I
All
can
right.
do is send it to you as soon as I
We'll get
have
it.
it. And
Yep.
if you
We'll
want to
get it
put it
put
out
up on
there,
all
then
our, yeah, we'll get it put
yeah.
up on our social media. And then once this interview gets put up on our website, we'll have that website
Hopefully,
linked
I'll
as
have it
well.
tomorrow or maybe
Yeah.
today,
That'd
I'm
be great.
hoping. So I'll
Great.
send it to you. Thanks so
Awesome.
much, Tom, for having
Thank
me. I
you.
really appreciate it.
All right. God bless, and
Take care.
we look for. We'll have to plan on coming back later in the or after the conference, and we can kind of recap everything.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
All
I'd love
right.
it. All right. Take care. Thank
All right.
you.
God bless
God
everybody,
bless.
and
God
remember
bless.
to put on the armor of God.
Amen.